Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 30th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 3:30, we are going to welcome in Kate Carlson with the Wood County Health Department. Looking forward to catching up with Kate. We're going to talk with her about the wildlife smoke, recycling, and a couple of other things. Right now, joining us on the phone, Senator Patrick Teston. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing good. How have you been?
Staying busy.
Yeah, you have.
I'm just flying by, but I can't complain.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been up to, sir. Looking forward to getting into that with you. But for right now, we certainly overnight had some interesting news going on, that the proposal for almost a $3 billion in state income tax cuts. Let's start right there.
Yeah, so yesterday it was announced the Assembly Republican Caucus unveiled a plan to provide significant tax relief. So anyone who was following along during the budget process, so we had initially in the budget proposed a $3.5 billion income tax cut, which would have simplified our tax code, taken us from four brackets down to three. And when it reached the governor's desk, roughly 95% of that tax cut was vetoed, which was unfortunate. But given the fact that with that veto, that basically lapsed roughly $4 billion back into the general fund, the state's general fund. The Assembly Republicans have put forth a proposal. And so, I'm looking forward to having conversations with my colleagues in the state Senate. I think anytime that we can provide significant tax relief, especially for the middle class, as well as our small business owners, I think that's a windfall for the state. And in fact, just yesterday, I recorded a radio address that talked about the needs of how we need to become more competitive as far as it relates to our tax climate. Right now, we're ranked 27th in the nation as far as being our tax climate competitiveness. And if we want to grow, similar to other states like Texas, Tennessee, Florida, South Dakota, I think we need to do what we can to provide more money to our taxpayers here in the state, especially at a time when record high inflation has really eaten away at individuals' ability to earn. And so we'll see where it goes. I'm hopeful and confident that through the course of this fall, I'm hopeful that we can get a tax cut deal done, and hopefully one that we can get the governor's support on.
And speaking of that support, Governor Evers has already commented that he is encouraged by this most recent proposal, in major part because you and your colleagues left out a tax cut for the highest income bracket. That is one of the things that is different about this proposal than the previous one. What led to that?
Well, again, this is really being driven by the assembly leadership right now, and so I think by and large, the approach that they're taking is, look, we know what the governor will sign, what he won't sign. And obviously the governor had concerns with touching the top tax bracket, which from my perspective, I think it's a missed opportunity, because if you take a look right now at our top marginal tax rate, there's no other state that's higher right now between the states of New York and California. So Wisconsin remains an outlier, but if we can provide tax relief for a significant number of filers here in the state, I think that's still a step in the right direction, even though I think a number of my colleagues, including myself, would like to go a little bit further.
I don't want to get us off into a different direction here, but when you mentioned something like that, and we talk about being behind on things, and you and I and Representative Crew, Katrina Shanklin, we've all talked about this too, about medical marijuana and being behind on that, where every state surrounding us is doing something along the lines of that, where we're kind of still left in kind of in the old ages with it. When it comes to these things, just in general, are you at all worried about Wisconsin getting behind just in general, just of the rest of the country?
Yeah, it is a little bit concerning. So, you know, as you mentioned, the issue of medical marijuana, you know, I've been sort of outside of my caucus on this a little bit when I introduced the bill back in 2019, but I do see the merits for it. I do support it. I think recreation is still a hard sell for a lot of us in the legislature, but I do think there's much more of an openness to have conversations and see where we could possibly go with a medical cannabis program, which I think has a lot of benefits, and it's actually in line with legislation that many of us have voted for in the past, which is the right to try bill, that if you're terminally ill, that you should have the ability to go out and do medicines that can provide some relief, even though the end result is still going to be death. But why wouldn't we provide comfort to those individuals who are suffering from debilitating diseases, whether it's cancer and other types of illnesses like that? And so this week I had a conversation with one of my colleagues, Senator Mary Felskowski, up in the northern part of the state, and I think she's working on a bill right now. I haven't seen the details, but I do think you're going to see a proposal put forth this fall, and it may not go as far as some people would like, but as I tell everyone, sometimes it takes baby steps before you're able to go onto a full-on sprint. And so, I'm hopeful and optimistic that we can have that conversation this session. And I think based on where things are at right now with our current makeup, there's a much more openness to at least have the conversation than we had in years past.
Do you think, from your perspective, from what you're seeing behind the scenes, we're closer to this than we've ever been as far as it happening? I'm not putting a timetable on it. I just mean that you're hearing good feedback, that there's a possibility of this happening still.
Yeah, I think there is. I think there's a strong possibility that this could happen this fall. And now it's just a matter of, we got to see what's in the details and how it's going to be structured. And if it has the legs and the support in the legislature to get it out of both houses and sent to the governor.
Flipping back to the bill that was proposed, Wisconsin is projected to end the two-year budget cycle with $4 billion surplus. Many of your colleagues believe that that should go to the extra money should go to the taxpayers or tax relief. Is that going back to what you were previously talking about with the upper bracket or all brackets?
Based on the proposal that was put forth yesterday by the Assembly Republicans, it doesn't touch the top bracket, but still by across the board. So, I'm a firm believer there. I haven't come across a tax cut that I didn't like, and I think any time that we can get money out of Madison and put it back into the pockets of hard-working taxpayers, it's a win-win for the state. I mean, if you take a look going back to 2011, there have been several tax cut proposals put forward and enacted into law, and every time that taxes have been cut, we've actually seen an increase in revenues into the state. And it's kind of ironic given the fact that how we score our bills through the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, it's done statically, not dynamically. So I think we've now proven that when tax cut proposals are put forward, it's viewed as a spend and a hit to our state coffers. But in actuality, the returns that we've gotten is we've actually increased revenues coming back to the state, which is a good thing in my opinion.
Having a little bit of phone troubles with you, sir, but we got most of that. I think we got most of that. Just to let you know that's going on. State Senator Patrick Teston joining us right now. And sir, you recently were a part of a bill to require agreements between restaurants and third party food service delivery services. I'd like to get into that, and especially those that don't know about it, if you could explain what was in the bill for us.
Sure. So this is legislation that was that I authored last session. Unfortunately, it kind of stalled in the committee it was referred to, and we've brought it back. And so I think by and large, consumers have shown that there is great demand for third-party delivery services such as Grubhub, DoorDash, and others. And it's actually been a windfall. But there are some concerns and issues that have come up. So for instance, if an order gets placed, there are oftentimes instances where restaurants will come to find out by surprise that their menus, their business is being advertised on these sites without their permission. And so we actually work with the stakeholders on both sides, the third-party delivery groups, as well as the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, to come up with a compromise, to put in some guardrails and to ensure that, one, restaurants agree to be put on these platforms and services, and also to make sure that we have consumer protections put in place, making sure that delivery drivers actually have some knowledge of food safety and basic sanitation and to ensure that when orders are placed that the restaurant gets notified, because there have been cases where, an order gets mixed up or the delivery, when it gets delivered, the food is cold. And oftentimes customers don't necessarily know who's responsible for that, and they'll blame the restaurant when they may not have been their problem whatsoever. And mm-hmm. So we just want to make sure that, again, we've got some guardrails put in place and more importantly, that restaurants have a say as to whether or not they want to have their menus and their business advertised on these platforms.
we're really fixing the boat while we're on the water with a lot of these things, whether we're talking about internet laws or animal laws, a lot of these things. With something like this, how difficult is it when there is no previous laws? I'm curious if you and your colleagues looked into California a little bit, because I know California was doing something similar to this as well. When there is no kind of precedent already, where do you begin? Where do you start? And do you look at other states for influence?
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is one of these classic examples where the private sector is moving faster than the regulations that are supposed to, kind of oversee them. And so, when it's a new issue that arises, oftentimes what I do, and I know many other offices do this as well, is that we'll use the resources at our disposal. And for instance, the National Conference on State Legislatures, which represents every state, every legislative body in the country, and they're a great resource. So we can reach out to them and say, hey, we've got an idea for a bill. Can you kind of give us a framework of what other states have done to approach this issue and kind of use that to guide us as we move forward so we don't have to reinvent the wheel? And so, we did look at other states as it relates to this bill, and I think came up with a really good framework. And again, what's really encouraging by this, what I'm encouraged by, is the fact that we had both sides of the issue at the table, and to hash out our disagreements and find that common ground, and I think the bill that we put forward reflects that. And so again, I'm cautiously optimistic that while we hit pitfalls last session, that we can overcome those and hopefully enact good public policy that's going to be in the best interest of the public.
I'm not saying that everybody in Madison is holding hands singing Kumbaya, but are you noticing this too, sir? Because I want to bring this up. We have Scott, Representative Krugin, on Friday, and I want to bring it up with him as well. I feel like in the last year or so, I'm hearing a lot more of that bipartisan support. Or, this Republican bill and Governor Evers looking into it and agreeing with it or that. I feel like we're becoming and we're showing our purple in this state a lot more.
Yeah, I think there's a strong case to be made there. And I think, ever since I entered the legislature in January of 2017, every session that, I've been down in Madison, I think the vast majority of the bills that we pass are bipartisan, both under Governor Walker and Governor Evers. And, I think especially now, given the fact that we do have divided government and, we know we're going to have Governor Evers and for the next 3 years, that, okay, we understand that there are going to be some pretty vast differences between the parties, which is to be expected. But I think we also have to recognize that, the voters in the state elected to have split government for a reason. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to, figure that out and find areas where we can get agreement on, because I don't think anyone wants to go down to Madison just to hit our head against the wall and, constantly fight each other left and right. And so while we do have our differences, I do think that, we have proven, at least in Wisconsin, that maybe the feds could take note, mm-hmm. that we've been able to look past some of our differences and really try and focus on issues that are going to help our state.
It's so much more important that we get things done than one party or the other has bragging rights. It feels like we've gotten away from where we were for some years there, where our party has power in this state, and we're just going to sit here and we're not going to pass those bills. We're not going to do this. We're going to do that. I'm not saying our state was like that, but some states in our union were kind of holding pack, and the American people are not going to take that anymore from either side. That we want to see things getting done, wherever your state capital is, you want to see work being done. It feels like more and more constituents are being very vocal about this as well.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment. And I take a look at my district specifically. I mean, in 2018, my district was won by Governor Walker as well as Senator Tammy Baldwin. These are two individuals that have vastly different political views and philosophies, but yet the voters, they look past the R and the D behind someone's name and really focused on the individual and who they want to have represent them either down in Madison or out in D.C. And so, I think you're right. Wisconsin is a purple state. And, as a result of that, that definitely impacts how I approach things and trying to find that common ground. And again, you know, we're going to have our dust ups, and there are going to be some issues that we're pretty far apart on, which is to be expected. But I think by and large, as I've said countless times, is that whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, we all go down to Madison or out to D.C. for the same reasons. We want to make our country, our state, our communities a better place. We may have different ways of getting there, but if we can hash it out and find that common ground first, then it's going to yield much better results. I mean, I always found it comical when I ran statewide last year in the primary for lieutenant governor. And, you know, you're going into communities you're not as familiar with, and at community events where you don't know anyone, you're going up to people and making the introduction. And I always got a chuckle when I'd go up to someone and they said, well, what party are you? Well, I'd say, well, I'm a Republican. And they said, well, we're Democrats, and so we just can't talk. And I would always stop and say, look, if I didn't talk to Democrats, I wouldn't talk to my own parents, and that's not really a road I want to hold. So how about we restart the conversation and figure out what we agree on as opposed to what we don't? Because at the end of the day, you know, politics is a game of addition and subtraction, and really about fractions. And we can all have different numerators, but the one common denominator that we have is that we're all Americans.
It really seems like, too, if there's one thing that we're all on the same page with, you know, Republican, Democrat, independent, whatever, we're tired of divisiveness. We're tired of people trying to separate us or tell us that we should be separate or think separate or look at somebody differently than a fellow American, a neighbor differently because of such and such things. We're seeing a lot more of that, too, I think. A real pushback on that, where for so long it seemed like we were becoming more and more divisive as a country. It feels like, while it's a slow burn, it's been happening more and more of. We realize we have more in common than we realize, most realize. A couple of your lawmakers released a proposal about a week or two ago that would eliminate the sales tax in Wisconsin on essential baby products, including diapers, cribs, strollers. I wanted to get your take on this.
Yeah, I think it's a proposal worthwhile, and I would definitely support it because, again, we know that families' purchasing power has really diminished with the inflationary aspects that we're dealing with right now. And so, you know, these are essential items. And again, anything that we can do to provide relief for families, because, you know, whether it's childcare, whether it's, you know, just even the cost of living right now, it's difficult and people are feeling the pinch. And it doesn't matter what corner of the state that you're in. It doesn't matter if you're urban or rural, northern, south, or anywhere in between. It's posing a real challenge and it's causing families to really pinch pennies. And, you know, I think this is a proposal that will provide some significant relief for these items, and anything that we can do to help families out, especially younger families who are just starting out and starting their careers and want to have kids. I mean, we should be doing everything that we can to support them.
Do you think that this could bills like this? Excuse me, bills like this and similar things to this that would involve childcare could kind of going back to what you were saying before about, you know, increasing our population, bringing in, you know, new residents to Wisconsin and keeping the residents we have. And do you think that these kind of things are just as important as a tax cut as far as keeping people in state or bringing people to the state?
Well, I think it's all the above. I mean, people are smart and there's no question. When people go to a ballot box, they're making an informed decision on what direction they want to see their community, their state, the country go. But one of the most consequential votes someone can make is with their feet. And again, you know, I'm a numbers-driven guy, taking a look at data. And when you take a look at the census data from 2020, the states that saw increases of people moving in were states that had a more competitive tax climate where they don't have excessive taxes and regulations. Not that, you know, I'm not saying we do away with all regulations, but people take note of that. They want to know where their dollar is going to stretch further compared to other states. And, you know, that was laid out pretty clear. I mean, the states that saw the largest out-migration were states like New York, California, and Illinois. No offense to Illinois, but compare that to the states that saw the largest gains. It was Florida, Tennessee, Texas, South Dakota. And I think if we want to be competitive, especially given the fact that right now we have 182,000 job openings here in the state of Wisconsin, and we have an aging demographic, we've got to do what we can to not only retain who we have, but we also have to attract people from outside of the state, because we are in direct competition with 49 other states, And we have to make the case as to why Wisconsin is the best place to live, work, and raise a family.
And I've seen those same numbers, or similar ones at the least, and I agree with you. I do think that you have a very strong point there. I'll say, though, that the same articles I've seen will show you that Florida is one of the states that have lost people the most, and in big part because of their child care and some of the things that they are doing there in that state. So it's also something to learn from with that, too. The more we improve our child care, the more we take care of these things, the more we're going to probably be seeing an influx of people. I wanted to wrap up with you talking a little bit about you smiling more. This is great to see, sir. I don't think we see our politicians get to smile very often. And you've been making on the fair circuit and been running a lot of those. I seen you were at the Almond Lions Club Tater Tot Parade recently. Please tell me what this is. I have not heard of this one. I've heard of a lot of our fairs, but you had me at Tater Tot Parade. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, the Tater Toot Parade down in Almond.
Tater Toot Parade, yes.
Yeah, if you've never been, it's a tiny little village in southern Portage County, and it's put on by the Almond Bancroft Lions Club, and it really is, it's one of my favorite events to go to every year. It's a little community. Everyone shows up. It's really to highlight the work that our great men and women in the agricultural industry do, and what's so fun about it is that at the end of the parade, they've got a great community event. Everyone's downtown. They've got live music, bands, can't go wrong with the beer and brat stand. And so it's always fun to go there. And then even just this past weekend, it was at the Central Wisconsin State Fair up in Marshfield. And it's just so great to see people coming out and just enjoying the sights, coming together as a community. And it really is one of the highlights of the job. It's, you know, obviously we get paid to go down to Madison to work on legislation to help folks with constituent cases and any issues that may come up with the government. But for me, the highlight of the job is coming back home, being in central Wisconsin, going to these events and just talking to people, everyday people. And, you know, just to have the one-on-one conversations and just to get out and enjoy the sights and sounds.
You know, how important is it for politicians to, whether like for you, whether it's the On the Job series or showing up at fairs like this, to be with the people, to be there, to not be in a bubble, to be around people? It's one thing when you go to a door, to a constituent's door and, you know, ask them, are you Democrat or Republican? Please vote for Senator Tess and that sort of thing. That's you going to them. This is you going, them coming to you in essence, where you're there. And it's a more organic situation. How important is it for politicians to be in these situations and to be with the people?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, that's our job. And, you know, from my perspective, it is the best way to keep your thumb on the pulse of the folks back home. And, you know, again, like I tell everyone, I still get the chills when I walk in the Capitol and that dome gets bigger and bigger as I'm driving down East Washington Ave. But by the end of the day, when that dome's getting smaller in my rearview mirror, I couldn't be happier because it means I'm going home. I'm going to be back in the district talking to folks. And the other important thing that comes up is that when you're out there, I mean, you don't know what conversation is going to come up. You don't know if a constituent is going to come up to you and have an idea or they're dealing with an issue. And so that's one of the beauties of this job is that you never know what's going to come across your desk or in this case, when you're out and about at these events, you know, what's going to pop up. But then, you know, you could get an idea for a bill or you end up helping someone with an issue that they're dealing with the state government. Not that that would ever happen, but it really is. It's one of the most valuable tools that any elected official at any level can have is just being out there and being present and visible, and more importantly, to show up and listen.
You mentioned you were at the Central Wisconsin State Fair. We had a bunch of our team down there as well. Wanted to thank you for stopping by and stopping by the Truth booth. Thank you very much for that. It was good to see you down there.
Yeah, that was a blast. We had a really good conversation, forget your colleague's name, but we had a really good chat, and it's just great. It was a good opportunity, and I'll never say no.
We always appreciate the time, sir. We will catch up more next month. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the things we've talked about, how can they reach you?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of me, they can contact my office at 608-266-3123. Shoot us an email at sen.teston@legis.wi.gov or follow us on social media, Facebook, X, or Twitter, whatever the heck it's called these days. and especially right now as we get geared up for the fall session. If people have ideas or if any of the issues that we talked about here today, reach out and give us your feedback, because we'll gladly appreciate it, and that will help inform our decisions as these bills progress and make their way through the legislative process.
Genuinely always appreciate the time, Patrick. Thank you very much for joining us, sir. You have a great day and be safe out there.
Will do. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Senator Patrick Teston joining us. He'll be with us again next month for another great conversation. Stick around for more Midday Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.